Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. And every Monday morning at 8, we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Robert, I'm a delight. It's a pleasure to be on with you fine gentlemen today.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on, as it often does. It brightens up our week. Each Monday at 8 o'clock, it's a heck of a way to start the week. So we got a lot to get into. We will get into the NCAA tournament here in just a second with you. I do want to start, though, on the Titans. You know, it is in some ways it feels like a lot longer, but it was a week ago today where all this free agent madness began. So in the aftermath of it, at least the first wave of it, what do you make of what the Titans have done to this point and how active they've been?
You know, it's funny you said that because, like, last night when I was putting Sports Extra together that never aired because of the weather.
Yep.
This is a good time.
I'm sure it was a great one, though. But you're not complaining.
But I was like, was this all just in the last week? I mean, I felt like we had a month's worth of transactions all in, like, 4 days. And I could be wrong. I can't ever remember this many, like, signings in 1 week. So I guess what I'll say is, you know, they clearly had a plan for who they wanted to bring in, and they brought them in. And now the big question is, you know, will they be as successful as New England last year, Washington 2 years ago? Because I still look at all these guys as placeholders, largely. You know, all these guys who are on 1 or 2 year deals, you know, even most of the 3 year deals are really 2 year deals. Until they can draft the guys that can come in and actually play. But the good news is they have the money to pay these guys to come in and play. I guess I'm a little surprised that virtually all of the attention was paid to the defensive side of the ball, but I guess that shouldn't have surprised me with who the head coach is. And while I expected there to be a Dable solid influence, I don't think I anticipated it being that strong.
Yeah, no doubt, right? It's I totally understand. You have players you trust, just like you have coaches you trust. You think they're good and all that. It is a lot from
just from two bad teams.
Yeah, from two bad teams. I mean, it's like we got there's a few players, especially on the Jets. It's like if you can get a couple of those guys, now we're talking. But you know, it's hard to get the really good players, but in terms of Ridley in particular, mm-hmm. Corey, how do you view sort of the pecking order, the receiving core with him staying, with Wandale in, two young guys, and then the potential still for them to select someone?
I was a little surprised to see Ridley coming back. Could they have saved like $14 million against the cap if they waived him?
Somewhere in that neighborhood, yes.
Yeah, so they must have, but it still would have been like $10, $11 million in dead money. And they must have looked at what else was out there and just said, you know, for what else is out there, we don't want to take that much dead money.
Yeah.
I don't know, and we'll just roll with Ridley. I mean, you know, he's still capable of the big game, still works hard, but he's just been an inconsistent player for them. And, of course, last year had the injury issues. So, you know, I get why you bring him in there, but I guess my thing is do you hope he's one of your top two?
No. I mean, it would be great if either one of the guys from last year ascended into that, or somebody they draft this year is that,
or both.
Well, I mean, you know, you draft Robinson to catch 80 balls again, right? 90 balls. I mean, after you sign Robinson to do that,
yeah.
And then you know, you want Chim or Ellick or both to be a year better. And so, you know, I guess what I'm getting at is now you're paying $24 million for a three, and that's a lot. But I guess when you're as far under the cap as they are, and there is a cap floor that you have to meet, that maybe it makes some sense. And we've all seen injuries here. It doesn't hurt
to have depth. And maybe Cam wants him here. I mean, maybe that's part of it too. It certainly doesn't hurt to have him here. I'll put it to you that way. I was just surprised they were willing to invest that much into a 32-year-old receiver coming off of a significant injury and an inconsistent season.
So how much better do you think they are on defense, knowing that there's still a pretty gaping hole over there when it comes to an edge rusher, a pass rusher, but how much better do you think they've gotten on defense?
Well, I mean, I think the pass rush is better without question by adding Franklin Myers next to Jeff. And I think Jermaine Johnson, I view him as an upgrade over Arden Key. But that other side is still patchwork. I mean, what's the guy's name? They signed from Washington, Jacob Martin, he's kind of, that Draymond Jones, guy that they brought in last year, although Draymond Jones had a better track record. He'd had, I think, a 10-sack season before. So you need some of those guys to produce at a level they really haven't. So, they still need another legitimate pass rusher over there. But they've got starting corners now. Now, can they stay healthy and actually play? That would put them ahead of the last group of starting corners that they had. So we'll wait and see on that. I mean, on paper, it looks better. But games aren't played on paper. They're played on the field, and they've had a hard time keeping guys on the field for the last few years.
So, Corey, what do you make of the draws for Vanderbilt and Tennessee?
I like most, was shocked that Vanderbilt was a 5 seed. It makes me think, so if they lost to Florida, they were a 6 for sure. Which would have been staggering as well with the season that they've had. But it is what it is. And it really doesn't matter if you're a 4 or 5. You're playing the 1 in the Sweet 16 anyway. And so, that one really doesn't matter all that much, 4 or 5. I don't hate their draw. Yes, Nebraska is good, but I don't view them as an unbeatable team, for Vanderbilt. So I don't hate Vanderbilt's draw to the Sweet 16. I kind of view them as a Sweet 16 team. So if they could somehow get past that, that would be amazing. But I think they need to get there. Obviously, if they lose to Nebraska, if they get to play Nebraska, that's a toss-up game. But, with the year they would have, you'd like to get to the Sweet 16. Tennessee, gets the play-in winner. And, I always think, that play-in winner for that, 11 and 12, they get a tournament game under their belt.
Yep, they're dangerous.
I think we see it in the SEC tournament. Once you get a game under your belt, you've got more rhythm and confidence and flow. And I mean, Ole Miss, had a strong run here in Nashville, and they weren't that good of a team this year. So I think that could be dangerous for Tennessee. But if Nate Ament is even healthier, I still view them as, a team to move on. What's their potential round of 32 matchup?
Virginia, likely.
Yeah,
that's tough. That's a tough draw. So that you see, that's where the 6 seed got to be really tough. So I have a hard time seeing them get past that. But if the freshman plays huge, you never know. And then TSU, what an amazing story.
The
coach got hired in July.
Yeah.
And, they didn't just win the league tournament. They won the league. And they got better as the year went on. We were on a company call last night for tournament coverage, and we were talking about the St. Louis bracket. And I was like, guys, I said, I tell you this, TSU is just getting warmed up. They hired the coach in July. They've gotten better every step of the way. somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but at the same time, it's true. They've gotten better. It's when you talk about national coach of the year, he won't get a sniff, for a lot of reasons. But that is one of the more remarkable jobs done in college basketball this year.
Yeah, there's absolutely no doubt about that. A tough one for the Preds last night, Corey. So they lose in Edmonton, which means after a big win last week against Seattle, where you pull up within one of a playoff spot. You're back down to four. You got some more big games that are coming up, but they just they really haven't been able to grab a hold of any traction lately. What do you think of kind of where they sit right now with 16 games left?
Well, look, last night, you know, going to Edmonton, that's a tough assignment. You don't expect them to get any points out of that one. It's the Thursday night game that kills them.
Yep.
Just kills them. When you give away that point, when you're up 3-1 in the third period, and I know it's 1 point, but this team needs every point you can get. And when you can't hang on to that point, it's really devastating and kind of damning at the same time. It was, you know, that point was there to be had. And the loss to Edmonton isn't quite so crushing if you've got that point. Because that would be what you would expect. You know, you're going to lose in Edmonton. Can you get 2 points on Thursday night? For me, I just want them to continue to play meaningful games. You know, because if they make the playoffs, they're not advancing. So can they continue to play meaningful games? You know, not throwaway games. That's you know, what I want to see, and I want to see from the young players, because frankly, I really liked what I've seen from a lot of the young players. I think Wood has been one of the very best players on the team since they've come back from the Olympic break. I think he's been really good. Even Svechkov scored a goal last night.
He's playing better. Yeah.
I thought he was allergic to the net. And so, you know, that was good to see. And so the young guys, I feel like are playing pretty well. And, you know, cause to me, you're kind of playing for next year. I mean, and you're trying to find out, can some of these guys be a part of the solution? And I think it helps to get that idea if you're playing meaningful games. So this will sound like I'm putting up the white flag or weak or whatever. I don't care. For me, it's more about staying in the hunt and playing meaningful games and making the playoffs, because they're not going anywhere in the playoffs anyway.
Corey, it's going to be a fun week. This is when my college basketball fandom begins every year, is this week. So I'm looking forward to the tournament coming up. It's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Have yourself a wonderful week watching ball.
Green Bay is in. Is Wisconsin Green Bay in the field?
Well, isn't their coach, isn't he doing a radio show?
Gottlieb. Yeah. They were a lot better this year, by the way. They were a lot better.
I'm still trying to figure out the doing the radio show and coaching ball at the same time. How's that going?
Yeah. There's a lot of questions I got about him. But
do you think
whatever.
You could do the TV?
I do radio, and I'm a male model.
That's
whatever.
True. Could you pull off being a coach and TV at the same time?
Oh, hell no. I was kid soccer coach.
You were. I know.
Yeah, but that was 2 days a week.
Two intense days, though.
Two very intense.
You know, I always tell this story. When I was in college back in Southern Illinois in the early 90s, Rick Pitino took over at Kentucky, and we used to get their coaches show from the Paducah station. And I say to this day, it is the best coaches show ever. Because we all know, most coaches shows are horrible.
Not good.
And unwatchable. That's why they're like relegated to like times and channels that nobody watches for the most part. And I'm not talking about the Titans coaches show, because we all know everyone watches that on YouTube.
It's very good.
but Pitino's coaches show is great, because he was basically the primary host of it. And, you know, he would, like, front all these things. And when they brought the players out for interviews, he would interview them. So, like, he knew all these, like, inner details about them and their families and everything. It was great. It was great. I always begged that when I did the coaches show here with the Titans, I always begged the coaches, when we bring the player on, ask them some questions. You know them better than I do.
Yeah.
And all of them always said no. They said, no, you just do it. And I'm like, it will make for a better show if you will be involved. And every one of them always said no. And I always was like, Rick Pitino would say yes. And Rick Pitino's a champion. But that never worked.
Didn't work? That's a tough one.
No.
I think that's a pretty good sales job. Corey, enjoy the basketball this week, my friend. We will talk to you next week.
All right. I need you guys to fill out a bracket for me. I haven't won in years. I need some help.
Okay. See what I can do.
Uniforms.
We have the nation's leading bracketologist on the show, so maybe he can help.
Did
that's
you?
True. I got him all right.
Yeah, he's right here. Joe Rexro.
I think I may just paint my cat's paws and just have her walk all over the bracket.
Just see if that fills it out good.
It's just
as good as anything.
The Momo bracket.
That's right.
The Momo bracket.
I like it. Corey, thank you, sir.
Bye.
Corey Curtis, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock on the program. We'll react to what Corey had to say coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Your guys have talked about playing with a chip on their shoulder all season, something to prove. Does that carry over here? Do you still feel like you have something to prove?
I love the fact we were dejected in the locker room today, and that means they care, and that means they put a lot into it. And so every single time this team has been knocked down, they get back up. It's just a great quality about them. And we got knocked down today. We were playing really good basketball, and even today we played good basketball. And so now we got to get back up and come back stronger. And so that's the goal, come back stronger and be our best on Thursday.
As Mark Byington, Vanderbilt falling in the SEC championship game yesterday against Arkansas. Apparently Calipari called the Hawks. Good to see after the championship.
He did.
Good to know. Been waiting on him to do that for a long time. The bracket is out. Vanderbilt is a 5 seed. They're taking on McNeese in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Tennessee, a 6 seed. They'll take on the winner of SMU and Miami of Ohio. Let's start on the Vanderbilt front. Number one, Joe, I thought played good basketball over the weekend. Needed to play good basketball over the weekend. Take down Tennessee. You take down Florida, which is a huge win. And you fall short in the SEC championship game. But overall, I think coming out of the weekend, you got to feel pretty good if you're Vanderbilt and you're Mark Byington about the way you're playing heading into the NCAA tournament. What do you make of their run to the SEC championship game and now where things stand for them as a 5 seed heading into the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, they were so fun to watch this weekend. They were really good. And yesterday, really, it came down to it was a fantastic atmosphere. You wonder sometimes, we've seen, obviously Kentucky fans always take over the building, but also we've seen Tennessee fans with this tournament in Nashville have some they've put a lot of orange in those seats. And I have never really seen Vanderbilt fans show up that much for this tournament. And I'm not ripping them. It's just the reality of the not having very good teams. And in the first couple days, they had more of a presence, but it still wasn't, you know, like, so Byington after the Saturday game is like, please, like, he was like, the other game was going on. I was like, buy him now before even the other teams even know who won the game. You know, let's buy him. Let's pack it up. They packed it. It was a 50-50 packed crowd yesterday. They got treated to an incredible game. It was so much fun. And Vanderbilt was really good, and they just missed some shots that I think most nights they hit. And maybe that's a third game in 3 days kind of thing with your legs a little bit. They don't have a lot of depth. But meanwhile, Arkansas was red hot and was hitting everything from outside. And Trevon Brazil hits the two threes late that I think are the key plays, even though Darius Acuff Jr. is an absolutely absurd talent. And, like, if you told me he has not even been mentioned with the number one picks, right? Everybody talks about Darren Peterson, A.J. DeBonsa, or Boozer. What, for whatever reason, I always blank on Cameron Boozer's name.
Not Carlos.
You tell me.
His dad.
What's that?
Not Carlos. That's his dad.
Yes, Cameron. And then there's Caden, who also is playing for Duke. If you tell me right now that Darius Acuff Jr. goes number one overall, I'm like, okay, he should be considered for that. Like, he's that good. He's unbelievable. But Vanderbilt, pretty exciting the way Duke Miles played this weekend. We know Tyler Tanner's great. It is a fun backcourt, both offensively. Yes, they create their own shots, they create for others, they can score it all over the floor. But also defensively, I mean, between them they had like 20 steals this weekend. Like, they're, that may be a bit of an exaggeration, but they are relentless in the passing lanes. They're a ton of fun to watch. Yesterday they got Tyler Nickel going. That is a big deal because he has been in a big slump shooting, and I think the slump has a lot to do with other teams trying to take him away. Tennessee came into Nashville and they were like, the one person who will not beat us is Tyler Nickel. We're going to face guard him. We're never helping off him, so beat us with somebody else. And it worked. And I think that teams have done that to him, and that makes it hard. That makes it so that when you do get an open look as a shooter, sometimes you rush it a little bit. You're a little bit panicked, frantic. And yesterday he stepped up, rose up, straight up and down, and hit some big shots. If they get Nickel going with those two guards, man, that's a really dangerous team in this NCAA tournament. There's just no doubt about it. And I thought their bigs competed really well. Jalen Washington played really well. Okereke, I mean, they don't have a ton of depth, but the rotation they have going now is really good. And, of course, it includes defensive stopper off the bench, Chandler Bing.
Yep. getting it done out there.
Could he be a better glue guy?
Wow, look at you.
Thank you.
Look at
you. Thank you.
Tennessee, a 6 seed, taking on the winner of SMU or Miami of Ohio coming up in the first four. So what do you make of that? That's the lowest seed they've been under Rick Barnes. You have, obviously, Nate Ament coming back in the lineup off of injury, so you feel good about that if you're Tennessee. What do you make of where things stand with Tennessee and their path with, like I said, the winner of SMU or Miami of Ohio, and then if they get past that game, likely playing Virginia as the 3 seed in the round of 32?
I'm more optimistic than Corey is on Tennessee-Virginia. Virginia had a very good ACC tournament. They gave Duke a run. Duke's very incomplete right now. Duke needs its people back, Ngongba and Caleb Foster. So you got to remember that. It's a wounded team, and they that team that blew out Virginia a couple weeks ago. I like Virginia. They're good. Tennessee can beat Virginia. They would have to play their best, and that's the question. Will they play their best? I liked how they played for a lot of the Vanderbilt game, but then – you know, they kind of faded. Vanderbilt kind of took it to them in the last 10 minutes of that game. They've got to, as I've been saying, like they've got to figure out, they got to find someone who takes a little bit of pressure off Gillespie and Ament. We know Ament has to be great. Of course he does. So we'll see if he is. But you also need to, like, you need to have someone else step up and provide some offense.
If you need a bracket to fill out for the NCAA Men's Tournament, head to thegamenashville.com/mayhem and print off your bracket today, presented by Toyota. Fuel your adrenaline at toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places. Also brought to you by Maple Street Biscuit Company and Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the NCAA Tournament. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Green Ventures Landscaping, outdoor patios, landscaping design, lawn maintenance, and more. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, we are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. So your reaction to Vanderbilt as a 5 seed? Tennessee as a 6 seed in the NCAA tournament. By the way, on the women's front, Joe, Vanderbilt a 2 seed. They'll take on High Point, where they are a 36.5-point favorite in the first round. Tennessee with an interesting one as the 10 seed taking on NC State. So in the 7-10 matchup, you got the Lady Vols taking on NC State.
Yeah, and maybe Tennessee gets through that game. I actually would be impressed if they do. I feel like there's a lot of, like, get the season over with them. If they win it, they're going to be facing Michigan and Ann Arbor. That's where they're playing NC State. I don't like their chances at all. Michigan's really good. So I don't think we're going to see Tennessee next weekend. If Vanderbilt wins, as you said, what did you say, 36.5?
That's correct.
They're going to play either Illinois or Colorado. I will say I've watched Illinois some this year. Pretty good team. It's not a gimme if that's the 2-7 game. But I'd expect them to win. And yeah, it's kind of too bad they got, you know, they were there as a 1 seed after beating Texas. They stumbled. They get a 2, and they end up in Geno's bracket. And I know he got asked this. He was like, well, you know, what do you think about, you know, Vandy and Shea Ralph? And he's like, well, it doesn't make any sense. So basically they're the number 8 team now? Because, I mean, not that the S curve is necessarily, I don't think, in the women's, I know in the men's side they cannot do the S curve. I don't think they can do the S curve strictly speaking anymore in either tournament. But it is a good point. If if UConn is the number 1 overall seed, it would have been, you know, you would have thought maybe someone a little further down the list. Like, for example, Iowa. I mean, Vanderbilt's definitely ahead of Iowa in the pecking order. But that they would have – I was hoping for Vanderbilt's sake that they would have gotten Texas's region. And then, you know, they've already beat them. Because I just don't know that I can see Vanderbilt beating UConn, South Carolina, or UCLA. But let's see if they can get there. Let's see if they can get to the Elite Eight. I think they're a 3 seed, Ohio State. I think they are flat out better than Ohio State. And if they can get to the Elite Eight and give UConn a run, that's a heck of a year. I mean, it's already a heck of a year, as we know.
Jeff on the text line saying, Tyler Tanner, very good, like you said, But he wasn't yesterday, and that was a weakness that cost Vanderbilt the game. Just my opinion. Also quite interesting that there are no SEC teams in the East bracket with Duke. How about that?
Are you
Is
saying?
It a conspiracy?
So
it's not hard enough.
Yeah. I was going to say, the SEC is not that great this year. Duke got the most loaded region ever, man. I mean, Duke has reason to, I think, actually be a little bit ticked off. You're the number one overall seed, and you get, you know, you get UConn, which has been a one almost all year, as your two. You get Michigan State, which was a two going into yesterday and is the top three, as your three. Kansas is a loaded four. St. John's, arguably an underseeded five.
They got California Baptist in there.
Yeah, they do have Cal Baptist.
Who made it in the men's and women's tournament.
Yeah, that is crazy. That's good for them. On Tanner. On Tanner, you know, he didn't shoot well yesterday. Maybe the legs, I don't know. He missed some shots he'd love to have. I mean, he missed a couple layups.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, man, great move, and you just missed it. So, but he is a great player, and I thought overall he was terrific all week. I mean, Tanner and Miles, that is
Miles
cooking with gas.
Seems like he's feeling better.
Oh, yeah.
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 He's hitting some shots at you. You know, for a while, early on in the season, you kind of saw Duke Miles and what he could bring, and then there was just that huge gap where he didn't play.
Right.
Kind of forgot, maybe, or didn't know exactly what he brought to the table. He's been impressive to me just because I didn't see him as much early in the season.
Exactly, and even like before he left, he was playing on the knee and it was hurting him. And I think you can see now the explosiveness is there. And boy,
he can make some tough shots.
Yeah, and he can just he's so good. Both of them are so good at anticipating a lazy pass and shooting in there and turning people over.
We brought up TSU, so to Corey. I mean, I'm looking at this bracket. I'm trying to identify some Cinderella teams that I'm rooting for. TSU definitely at the top of that list. Cal Baptist I'd throw in there. I'll throw another one. Hofstra. Hofstra takes on Alabama. I need Hofstra to win coming up this weekend or Thursday.
Hofstra's not a bad upset pick. Like Bama, you tell me right now Bama's going to just go nuts and they're going to play Michigan in the Sweet 16 and hit 15 threes and upset them. Okay, that can happen. That's Alabama. Also, you tell me Hofstra beats Alabama. Okay.
How much Hofstra have you watched this year?
I have watched a little bit of Hofstra.
Have you really?
I've watched a little bit of Hofstra. Yeah, they're good. That's a legit mid-major team that actually, you know, could be an issue for somebody.
Kentucky gets the 7-10, huh? Santa Clara. What do we know about them?
I love Santa Clara, and if anybody watched the West Coast Conference tournament, man, they beat St. Mary's. To pretty much guarantee they were getting in, and then they had Gonzaga on the ropes, man. I'll tell you right now, I'm taking Santa Clara.
If they beat Kentucky in the first round, what's that mean for Mark Pope? Not that he's getting fired after this year, but what do you think the reaction to all that is?
Well, it's already
everything that's happened already this year.
It's already not great, and you know, even like Cal doing what he's doing, that makes it worse.
Yeah,
it does. It's a huge offseason for him. I mean, they paid $22 million for a not very good team. And I understand Jaden Quaintance, that makes a difference, but like even with him, it's a not very good team. It's a very poor job of constructing a team and putting pieces together that don't fit and just basically like, let's add this guy, let's add this guy, let's add this guy. Yeah, let's pay Denzel Aberdeen all this money to take him away from Florida, and then he has to be in a bigger role than he should be. So it's a humongous offseason. And by the way, if you want to talk about Hofstra, you know, they're 10th in effective field goal percentage defense. They are 3rd in two-point percentage defense. So you're talking about a team that locks people up. So, and Speedy Claxton is their coach, by the way.
So Alabama better watch themselves. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, can they? Cause, you know, Alabama, I mean, the bottom line is they probably could really use Bediako.
Well, I'm sure they could.
And by
I'm
the
sure
way,
Tennessee could use LeBron James.
But. Yeah. By the way, that there's another thing about the whole seeding the 4-5 thing. Like, I disagree with what Gentry said earlier. Like, that's not true. Like, they scrub every team. What they do is they scrub every team, and the metrics favored Vanderbilt, and they were like, but we think Kansas is better. There's still subjectivity in eyeball tests. So they know they beat Florida. They counted that. But they gave some of these teams more credit. And I think that with Alabama, they missed the boat because you should dock them something for the Bediako game, should you not? I mean, even – I'm not saying penalize them, but I am saying take into account that some of their better performances, he was there, and he's not there anymore. Like, Alabama being over Vanderbilt is pretty ridiculous. Again, though, I would take Vanderbilt's draw over Alabama's draw because, again, Texas Tech still very dangerous, and then you're looking at Michigan – Vanderbilt can beat Nebraska, and we already know they can beat Florida. So they got poorly seeded. They're off a line, but the draw, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, you got to take that into account. It's actually not bad at all.
Somebody wondering if you used to be able to dunk back in your day.
You know, I thank you for asking. As you know, I've talked about this. The last time that I dunked a basketball was somewhere in the summer of 1993 in the outdoor courts at Prince George High School in Prince George, Virginia, and I crammed it on, I won't name him, you know, that's not fair, but he was one of our better athletes, and he looked at me after the whole place went, oh, and he said, fart you, Rex Rhodes. It was an amazing moment in my life. So, yes, I used to be able to dunk a basketball, and now I probably would strain something dunking a Fisher Price basketball.
Well, he's been trying to get, you know, he's been in the gym trying to get back to that moment.
Thank you for asking.
The hops back up.
Exactly. Thank you for asking about my athletic prime. It was an amazing sight.
Jeff from Nebraska says, listening to Joe during this show is like listening to a kid on Christmas morning. I love it.
Yeah, I am.
I mean, the energy level has been high today.
I'm too excited, aren't I?
When I asked you if you watched any Hofstra and you said yes, that's when I knew. Like, wow. He's actually watched Hofstra play basketball this year. It's impressive.
Hey, I mean, you know, trying to put together a bracket. Even though Jake Lyman doesn't even acknowledge that I do a bracket. I heard him the other day and he's like, oh, Joe Lenardi said this. What am I? I only got every team right. Jake Lyman.
Got the best bracketologist in the country sitting, you know, 6 feet away from us right here, and nobody ever utilizes it.
Yeah, I'm here as a resource, but hey, whatever.
Let's head back to the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Dave to the program. Dave, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Enjoy the talk. I'm a Vandy fan, full disclosure, but, with Tennessee and Arkansas, they're alike in a way, I think. Tennessee, if Amet is off or not in the game, I'm just not sure the team can. I think they can be good, decent, but not great. And maybe that's the way with a lot of teams. But Arkansas, I mean, the same thing. If Acuff's off or not in there, but boy, after yesterday, I don't see him being off. I mean, he is just too strong to. He can carry Arkansas. Thanks.
He's really good. Thanks for the call, Dave. Appreciate it. I mean, Joe's halfway convinced after yesterday he's the best player in the country. I mean, my goodness, he's really good.
He's one of the best players I've ever seen. Yeah, that's actually, you know, someone just texted me today. And was like,
clip it.
Seriously, clip it, man. Keep it.
Who's better, Michael Jordan or Darius Acuff?
Well, I mean, Darius Acuff didn't go 1-3 against the Detroit Pistons in the playoff series. So, I mean,
we get that one in today.
No, I mean, I was asked, like, he's the best college player you've seen since what? And this is one of those things where it's like, oh, shoot, I forgot about that guy or whatever. I will say it reminded me covering the Sweet 16 in 2008, and I watched a freshman from Memphis just destroy Michigan State. And I'm like, he's not only like one of the best college, but like he's going to be an all-time great player. And Derrick Rose would have been, right? Can we all agree on that? Like Derrick Rose with health would have been like – And I get some similar vibe, not that they're the same kind of player, but I get some similar vibes watching Acuff. He's special, man. Actually, still he even texted me yesterday, and he said it reminded him of Iverson. I'm like, actually, that's like probably the least stupid Stilly basketball take I've ever heard. It's not a terrible comparison. Good job, Stilly.
You just love him this much because he's from Detroit?
He is a Detroiter, and so there's a little extra. There's a little extra love there for that. He's impressive, man. He's impressive. He's tough. He's a leader, but his game is insane.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. One more segment coming up next. We'll take your thoughts on the tournament. The bracket is set. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, I guess I'm going to put you on the spot here. And if you don't have an answer, okay, that's fine. Do you have a national championship pick? Have you already determined who your national champion is going to be?
I can't say officially because you got to go through the bracket, because sometimes you're like, oh, I think this team, and then you're like, oh, wait, that Sweet 16 matchup, you know what? They're going to lose. Like, okay, for example, okay, my impulse right now is Arizona. But I tell you what, I mean, the 4-5, we need, as much as like High Point actually could beat Wisconsin, they actually really could. Like, we need Wisconsin, Arkansas in a 4-5 game, man. Round of 32 to me is the best. It is the peak of the tournament. It's amazing stuff. Wisconsin, Arkansas, either of those teams, if they're playing their best, could beat Arizona in the Sweet 16. That is a tough draw to me for Arizona. But my impulse right now is Arizona.
Okay.
They're just, you know, they're just so tough, so physical. They don't shoot. They shoot it okay. They don't take many threes. They're like, it's this weird type style of basketball. They can go inside and beat you in so many ways. But Jaden Bradley is just such a senior. He's not the most talented point guard, but you know, you look at the shot he made over the weekend. He's just a clutch leader, and I just really like them.
Purdue hot, number 2 seed in that bracket.
Yeah, it's, and they are, and it's a great run for them. I'm gonna fade them on their defense. They just don't have a good, their 2-point defense remains quite bad, and I just can't trust it. It'd be a hell of a story for Braden Smith to be able to, you know, bring them to Indianapolis and all that stuff. I just don't see it. Sorry, Purdue. Boiler down.
I'll go Duke.
Duke?
Yeah. Even though their region's hard, I'm going Duke. I just think they're the best team.
Yeah. Well, and to me, like, if they do, the problem is, you know, if they get Caleb Foster back, it won't be until the Final Four. Can they get there without him? Sure. But it won't be easy. Patrick Ngongba, they need him back. And if they get him back, that helps a lot. They are definitely, you can see that they're not the same team right now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I agree with you. When they're whole, I think they're the best team.
Nobody's talking about Houston. Tell you what. Especially with Florida as a potentially vulnerable one seed. Houston may be coming out of that side of the South,
sure,
South bracket.
Well, and they're going to be playing, yep, in Houston. Yep. Some people are mad about that, but Houston, the 2 seed, is going to get, if they get to the Sweet 16, they're going to get home court there. So, yeah, no, I think Houston in the Final Four. Houston-Duke rematch of the Final Four definitely could happen.
Going to be interested to see on the Tennessee front. You know, can they put something together here? Offensively, do they just go into a shell? Like, I mean, some of this is probably going to be, you know, everybody talks about Amen, and obviously that's a big part of this. I think the tournament success for Tennessee, if I had to boil it down to one thing, is how well does Jacoby Gillespie shoot? Because if he has a game where he's just off, I don't think they have enough scoring beyond those two to overcome it. So if Gillespie has a game where he's 1 of 11 from 3,
which happens,
they're cooked, yeah, at that point.
No, they are. Yeah. No, I mean, and I really like how he played, by the way, in Nashville. I mean, but it's just so much on his shoulders, on both of those guys' shoulders. But you're right. If you run into, and Amen had a 1 for whatever,
yeah,
against Vanderbilt. Some of that due to Chandler Bing. Shout out Chandler Bing.
Indeed.
But yeah, you have to have both of them have to have efficient games, and then you have to find that other person. Corey. Or Gentry brought up, you know, Amari Evans. He was great against Vanderbilt in that last game, and he gave him a chance to win that game. He just couldn't hit a shot.
Yeah.
He just couldn't hit a shot. But he can at least get to the rim. And then Estrella is my guy. That, to me, it's like they got to get him the ball intentionally. They got to run some stuff for him, give him the ball in the post. He can pop, too, on the ball screens. And I think there's a lot there. The question is, can you harness that on a regular basis and get him going? You know, sometimes him at the 4 with Akpara the 5, or sometimes a smaller lineup with him at the 5. I think he might be as key as anybody.
Well, again, we've talked about this year, this past calendar year for Vanderbilt, but you got the football team doing what it did. You got the basketball team getting to the SEC championship game. The women's team's the number 2 seed in the women's tournament. It's pretty good, man. It's a pretty good run that they're on right now.
No, it is. It's a tremendous, obvious. I mean, it's one of the best years ever for Vanderbilt athletics. And they actually had a good series against LSU in baseball, yep, too, by the way. So you know, that's it's just too bad that they couldn't finish the deal yesterday. That would have been a really cool scene for them. And I know that like they were dejected, you know. People think the conference tournaments, like, do they matter or not? You know, they are. Like, they don't matter as much as people want them to matter, like in terms of, like, the NCAA tournament. Again, it's just it's a game or two or three on your whole profile. But to these competitors, these kids, they absolutely matter. You know, these guys you've been battling with all year, and now you're all in one building, and they really wanted it. And they had a great atmosphere, and they just, down the stretch, didn't make the plays, and Brazil hit a couple threes for Arkansas. But you still got to be pretty excited if you're a Vanderbilt fan about what that team could do and what it is and what the program is in 2 years under Mark Byington.
No doubt. Joe, enjoy yourself in Oklahoma City.
Thank you. I will I'll check in tomorrow. I will check in tomorrow.
Good.
Yeah.
We're going to hear from Joe tomorrow. Wednesday he'll be in Oklahoma City, ready to go, Cracker Barrel in hand. That does it for us on the show today. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.